This podcast is presented by CompressedSchedule.com, the website dedicated to the art of managing demanding schedules in today's global construction industry.
Welcome to the Radio Vitalik podcast series. This edition of CompressedSchedule.com is focused on the topic of materials handling. Today we are speaking with Bashir Massad, Operations Director at BK Gulf. Bashir, welcome, and I thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts and industry expertise with us today.
Thank you, and glad to be with you today.
Could you tell us about your background?
My name is Bashir Massad. I'm a mechanical engineer by profession, graduated from the University of Jordan in 1995. I started working with BK Gulf since then, and I never left them, so it's one-stop shop for me. I started as a trainee engineer and moved through to project engineer, to assistant project manager, and contracts manager, and until this year where I have taken on a role of being the commercial director of Abu Dhabi. Halfway through my working experience with BK Gulf, I went for a MBA course with Leicester University, UK, and I finished that about the year 2002. Currently, I am, as I said, the operations director for Abu Dhabi, looking after the whole operations. My specialty really was in the high-rise and commercial residential buildings.
Would you please provide the listeners with a general overview of the construction market here in the United Arab Emirates?
Maybe no one can give a fair overview of the construction market in the UAE at the moment. It's very dynamic and it's changing every day. But what we know today, few facts about the market. What we know is that people say that there is 25% of the cranes, of the overall number of cranes in the whole world here in the UAE, and we don't think that this is far from the truth. We know that the UAE market has or aim to have the best, the tallest, the biggest, and the most innovative type of projects. So it is extremely large. It's attracting a lot of international players. And it is very exciting for everybody to be here and to be associated with it.
When working in such a demand market, what are the biggest challenges you face on the job?
Challenges in our industry are endless. You know, they don't stop. If I have to prioritize these challenges, particularly in our industry, and at the time, at this time of the industry, basically, I would say that the largest challenge that we face, and probably most of the other competitors as well, would be the resources. When I say resources as well, I have to be more specific in talking about the quality of the resources rather than the quantity. To get the qualified resources, especially being an MEP industry, we need probably more qualified technicians rather than normal labor, yeah? When we go up the ladder, we talk about engineers and management staff. It's always on our risk assessment. The first item pops in our risk assessment for every job is the availability of resources, qualified resources on time. So that to me is the biggest challenge. The labor resources in particular is a challenge in here. It leads to a lot of productivity issues when it comes to construction sites. I can't remember one job that we have finished without, you know, having to exceed the tender allowances when it comes to labor. I wish that was not the case, but unfortunately it is, and it's a big challenge for everybody here. The second biggest challenge, in my opinion, would be the speed of things here and the delivery time. You know, everything here is expected to happen fast, extra fast, and it's like a race, you know. If you manage to finish a job on time, the next job will be in a shorter time and bigger value. So it's always a big challenge to finish, to achieve deliveries on time, to the quality and the standards that you would, you know, not compromise on.
As an industry leader, what are you doing to mitigate these challenges?
Mitigation, there are a number of ways or techniques that we use for to try and mitigate some of these challenges. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't, but within our company, we implement a lot of development courses. We try to get people, fresh graduates and trainees, and try to train them in-house. when it comes to labor as well. We try to be ahead of the game and get people ahead of requirement and try to get them on standby and train them and make them ready. One more way of doing this is outsourcing, and we do a lot of outsourcing now, trying to share and move the risk slightly to, you know, away from us. Outsourcing companies who are specialized in the business that they are in is always a good way of mitigating the resources risk.
Could you talk a bit more about your experiences with any one of the suppliers that you work with?
For sure. I've been working with Victaulic for over 10 years or more than 10 years since I started working with Peaky Gulf, to be honest with you. Very interesting concept. A large company with a lot of resources. It's one way of mitigating risk, working with Victaulic to us. You can just pass things to Victaulic and not worry about basically the piping solution. So when it comes to the grooved piping system and Victaulic in particular, we have been partners for quite some time in all sense of partnership, basically. We have an excellent relationship and they have provided us with a lot of support when it comes to material handling, deliveries, technical support, provision of tools, training and development. It's quite an interesting relationship.
Now, you mentioned schedule and delivery times as well as logistics. How does materials handling play a role on a job site, and how are your partnerships or suppliers working with you?
Before we talk about material handling, people should know that in our industry in the UAE here, materials form at least 70% of the value of each project in a standard project. So you can understand the importance of materials and subsequently the material handling. The material handling part of the materials in general is very essential for us in terms of achieving programs. Specifically, I would say in vertical construction, where I'm a bit more specialized, material handling becomes a vital issue and important issue. On vertical construction, it's the sequencing and the planning becomes really difficult. So if you miss a slot, you will not be able to recover. It's difficult to recover, which means that you have to have materials on time, just in time, in the place that you need it, at the time you need it. And you have to also, you have all the logistics issues which goes with it. By the time that it comes from the supplier on a back of a truck, to the time that it's inspected, it is stored if you have to, and then lifted up by a crane or by any other lifting measure, up to the working place, and then gets installed, tested, and commissioned. So material handling in this case becomes, as I said, very important. A lot of the sites that we have at the moment are very tight in terms of space. You don't have place to store materials. You have risk of safety and associated with handling and with storing materials. So you don't have to basically come and sort out the materials if you want. It's sorted at Victaulic backyard. It is packed as we want it. It is labeled and it's ready to go to directly to the working place rather than being stored, intermediately stored and then inspected and then, you know, lost maybe and then et cetera, et cetera. So,
in terms of projects, you've been involved on some of the most innovative building designs, the most recent being the high-rise buildings, Limitless, and Index Towers. Would you tell us about those projects and the challenges and how you overcame them?
Two projects that you've just mentioned are two recent projects that I've been involved in, and both are very challenges in their own way, interesting projects. Every one of them is unique in terms of the challenges that we had then. If you talk the Index building, for example, to start with, Index building is the for us the largest design and build job that we have ever had, ever have done. The concept of design and build is new, relatively new to the market. So us being the designers and the builders, it's a challenge in itself. It's also a non-conventional type of contract. So we have almost a partnering agreement with the client, Union Properties, and all the other players. It is a huge job in terms of volume, and it has the Sir Norman Foster's name on it. So it's the index of the buildings, like, you know. And it had to be highest quality, delivered on time to all these prerequisites or conditions that put around. So we had a lot of challenges when we started. I mean, we had to start from concept design, and we had to bring on the table a lot of new ideas and innovative ideas and save money and time for the client. Limitless, on the other hand, was the fastest track job recently been built in Dubai. It was a year start to finish, and we have been appointed late for some reasons, so we had to start working on site the second day. We also have a developer who wanted the best job, the most innovative job, the safest job, and the highest quality. And that's why the expectations from our client were extremely high, especially that he wanted to introduce an environmental friendly building as well. Not necessarily LEED classified. The building was not LEED classified, but it actually implemented a lot of LEED ideas, and sustainability design was introduced. So we had grey water system, we had some sort of renewable energy, the conservation of water and the use of water for irrigation. So it was very, very challenging job from that aspect.
Going back to the index tower, can you describe for the listeners more about the design of the building so people can understand what you mean by it was a very new design, very different, very challenging?
The index building is an 87 story in total. It sits on a huge podium of seven stories. Four of them are underground. Probably the largest single car park structure in the UAE at the time. On top of the podium sits an 80-story tower, which is a mixed development. It has offices, which is shell and core, and then high-quality residential apartments. The design was done, as I said, by Norman Foster's in the UK, and it was just concept design. So we had to take that design from concept to detailed design, and we have employed a consultant specially to do that, with taking into consideration all the local requirements and the authorities. The client is a very quality-conscious client. He's very specific and very particular.
When designing such demanding buildings, are there additional services from Victaulic that you work with?
Yes, we had the chance to get involved early in Index, and we had the lead time to engineer the job properly, and it was designed and built. We've got Victaulic early on board with us, their engineering department, and we sat and engineered the piping solution together. We had the plant rooms done on 2D and then developed to 3D. We have coordinated the requirements of the piping systems in general, equipment locations, the sections. And we had 100% weld-free system in Index, starting from the joints to the valves to strainers to everything you can imagine, basically. The job is not finished yet, but it's proven very successful. We have very good quality drawings. After the drawings, we had the BOQs developed by the same software, so we know exactly what we need and when we need it, and it was all tagged and marked and delivered on time to the site. We had few non-standard fittings where we had, you know, to plan it differently and to probably wait for the delivery or to spool it on site. But generally, I would say it's so far a very interesting and exciting experience, and it's very successful.
You bring up planning very often in your discussions. Would you tell us your opinion on planning?
I'm an extremist when it comes to planning, and I think everything in this life needs proper planning for it to succeed. Our industry and our job is no different. So I always say, if you plan your job ahead and you put an effort to plan it properly, you will have very less chances of failure, and on the other hand, you will have big chances of success. However, if you don't, you cannot recover, and whatever you do, it's very difficult to bring it back on board. Specific planning at early stages on the job is, in our industry, drawings and materials. That's the basic planning. If you plan and coordinate drawings well, if you do them on time to the right standards, you have half of your job done. If you engineer and procure materials with the right people on time, then it's the other half of your job done. What remains is the resources to build the job. And it's subject to the quality of the information they have, which is the drawings and the method statements, and subject to the availability of the right materials on time. They cannot fail, basically. Yeah, so I'm a big believer on planning. And I think that 80% of efforts on any job needs to be spent in the first 20% of the time, which is the planning stage.
Well, thank you, Bashir. You've certainly provided us with some excellent insight into how planning and materials handling play an important role in meeting demanding schedules. I appreciate you sharing your expertise with us and invite our listeners to obtain more information on BK Golf by visiting their website, bkgolf.com.
Thank you. I hope you found this useful.
This podcast has been presented by CompressedSchedule.com, funded through the support of Victaulic, the world leader in mechanical pipe joining products, on the web at Victaulic.com.